morning, Cascadia. Today is Thursday, March 4th, 2010, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, KBOO.fm on the web. And this is Air Cascadia. Long on content, short on time. I'm Chris Andre.
And I'm William Delta.
Anti-LNG voices spoke out in Astoria, drowning the hiss of gas escaping from the Bradwood balloon.
ESU is part of today's National Day of Action on Public Education.
And Trey Arrow joins us to talk about America's eco-prisoners, those inside and those outside whose voices are silenced sometimes by fear.
Portland area weather today, mostly sunny, high near 55 with a light southwest wind. Tonight, patchy fog, low around 42, and then tomorrow a chance of rain and a chance of rain for the next few days.
And first we go to news from around Cascadia. In case you didn't lose your whole nest egg to Bernie Madoff, AIG, or some gold-plated hedge fund, here's Oregon's pensioners' chance to wind up pushing a shopping cart down Burnside. In a deal being pitched as a home-run investment opportunity for the state pension fund, Oregon's public pensioners may be about to buy stakes in several of the 700 troubled banks around the country that are wallowing in bad loans.
If 11th graders can't pass 11th grade tests, just give them the 10th grade ones. And if that doesn't work, we can just keep lowering the standards until we're at rock bottom. Eventually, they can be taught to swim and catch hoops on their noses, and we can sell them to SeaWorld. Oregon is moving its 10th grade tests in reading, math, and science to the 11th grade, saying many students need another year of high school to learn the skills covered on the test.
In the Defense of Education March on March 4th, a National Day of Action is being held in commemoration of the protests in California last year on UC campuses across the states. Students return to continue to protest a lack of an accessible, affordable education. Here to talk more about the action today is Sammy Alaroy, Director of Multicultural Affairs and Student Government at PSU and Students United for Palestinian Equal Rights. Good morning, Sammy, and thank you so much for being with us today.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
It's going to be a busy day, right?
It sure is. We've got a lot planned for today.
What's happening?
Well, we've got a rally in the South Park blocks right next to PSU planned for 1 p.m., where we'll have special guests, musician David Rovick, as well as the Powder Keg Marching Band and the band Pinata, as well as student leaders and faculty members here at PSU talking about the threat to higher education in K-12 that we're experiencing here in Oregon.
So one more time, tell us again the what and the where and how people can make sure they get there.
Sure. It's at 1 p.m. We'll be rallying in the South Park block. So it's right next to PSU, which is the 1800 block of Southwest Broadway. And we'll be there listening to speakers and music from 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. And then we'll be marching around campus directly following.
What do you, very briefly before we let you go here, what do you want to accomplish?
Well, students are demanding an end to the tuition hikes and budget cuts that we're experiencing here. We're also demanding that the state reprioritize education over prison spending because, as you may know, Oregon is 45th in the union for our spending on education, but we do have the 24th most expensive prison system here. We're also asking for a repeal of Measures 11 and 57, the mandatory minimum laws, and we're asking the state of Oregon to establish a state funding floor for funding for higher education so that we don't see a further loss of funding.
Thank you so much for that. My guest has been Sammy Alaroy, Director of Multicultural Affairs and Student Government at PSU and Students United for Palestinian Equal Rights. Thanks again, Sammy.
Thank you.
U.S. Senator Maria Cantwell of Washington hasn't given up on the NOAA Headquarters Prize. Yesterday, Cantwell asked the Department of Commerce's Inspector General to audit the process that was used to move the home of NOAA's Marine Operations Center from Puget Sound to Newport. Washington's congressional delegation has repeatedly said they have serious concerns about last year's decision to move the center from Seattle to the Oregon coast. Sure they do, but their concern is not environmental altruism.
Last night in Astoria, approximately 250, probably closer to 300, LNG and pipeline opponents attended the DEQ's hearing in Napa. It was a critical turning point in the LNG debate, and the tide turned against the out-of-state proponents. The first 25 public comments were against the project. Senators Wyden and Merkley sent field representatives to attend the meeting, and Olivia Schmidt with Columbia Riverkeeper and the Oregon Anti-LNG Coalition was there also. Good morning, Olivia. Thank you so much for joining us again today. We'll have her on in just a moment. Olivia?
Hi.
Good morning. Thanks for being with
us
today.
Good morning. Sorry about that. Yes, we had a fantastic turnout last night at a hearing with the Department of Environmental Quality. DEQ has the full authority and, honestly, the obligation to deny necessary permits for the Bradwood Landing Terminal as well as all LNG and related pipeline proposals in the state. Last night, there were nearly 300 people in attendance. At one point, one of the commenters asked for everyone who opposed the project to stand in the room, and almost the entire room stood. It was an absolutely thrilling demonstration of how the anti-LNG community outnumbers those few who are in favor of this project because of the false promise of jobs for Oregonians. Some of the, you know, the strongest comments and the repeated comments related to concerns about the connection with Palomar Pipeline to Bradwood Landing, which is not currently being considered by DEQ as a connected action, although that pipeline has severe impacts to water and air quality in the state because of its impacts to Mount Hood primarily and salmon-bearing streams in the Gales Creek area. A lot of folks commented on concerns about impact to salmon habitat on the Columbia River, the Bradwood Landing being proposed in one of the most important critical salmon habitats in the North in North America. Almost everyone who got up to spoke thanked DEQ for their commitment to using strong science and demanding information from the LNG company. About 2, maybe 3 weeks ago, the DEQ wrote a letter to Bradwood Landing telling them that if they did not withdraw and resubmit their permit application to restart a year-long timeline for DEQ to consider that permit would be denied because of the lacking information and the clear impact to water quality in Oregon.
Olivia, thank you so much for that. We've got Trey Arrow here live in the KWA studios. Trey was there at the meeting last night. We're going to talk to him a little bit also. I want to thank you so much, though, for joining us this morning. My guest has been Olivia Schmidt with Columbia Riverkeeper and the Oregon Anti-LNG Coalition. Thanks so much, Olivia.
Thank you, Chris.
And now Trey, with Trey Arrow is an activist and environmentalist and someone who has been in the forefront of the movement for a long time. But social justice is something that is key to environmental justice. We're all in it together. Good morning, Trey. Thank you so much for coming in today.
Good morning, Chris. Thanks for having me.
I want to talk to you a little bit about America's, one of the themes that we have taken up on Cascadia frequently is the question of America's political prisoners. Arguably, people outside of prison, in some respects, are prisoners in that the threat of informants has silenced a lot of people. And a great many more people, though, have found interesting, imaginative, creative ways to continue the work because the environment is really all we have. Can you talk
about
that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think it's very important for folks to realize that there are still there are many forms of prison, and most of us are living in a prison in one form or another. It doesn't have to be an actual incarcerated setting by the BOP or by the Department of Injustice, as I like to say. The thing is important for folks to remember too is that those folks like myself, I just had been recently released from almost 6 years of incarceration for a couple of arsons that took place back in 2001. And the thing is that I still am very restricted right now, even though I'm physically out of prison. I'm on probation, and I'm very restricted as to what I can do. And there are many people that are coming out of prison that need a lot of support. So I think it's just as important to support prisoners while they're actually in the physical prison as it is to support them when they exit prison, because the transition is by no means easy. And I think it is important for us to look at the agents of repression and what they do and how they operate and how we as activists can counterbalance their COINTELPRO and get creative, get fun, keep it as fun as we can. I think humor is a really important key for healing and for motivating people and reaching people. You know, Dave, I know Dave was on your show yesterday. He's playing at the benefit today at PSU, and you know his songs are you know very powerful. They carry a potent message, and there's also an element of humor too that really kind of reaches people in a lot of the songs. You know, so I think that there's a lot that we can do. We are amazingly powerful people. We are creative. We're passionate, and the more that we come together and unite and kind of develop a united front on common ground, then the agents of repression will not be able to stop. The movement for justice, for peace, for environmental protection and sustainability, for equality for all beings, plant or animal, human or non.
Yeah, and we just keep rolling it on. You're going to be on, I believe, Jim Lockhart's cable program tomorrow night.
Correct.
Can you give us a preview of what you're going to be talking about then?
Yeah, so tomorrow with Jim Lockhart, I'm going to be on Portland Cable Access. It's going to be streaming live. You can go to the website. You can go to Indie Media actually right now, and he posted something up back like on the 27th or 28th of February, and there's a direct link to that. We'll be speaking tomorrow night from on the 5th from 7 to 8 p.m., and we'll be talking about, you know, we have a whole hour, so we'll be talking about a range of, you know, some of the things that I've been through, the activism that I've been part of, my life on the run, being a political prisoner and some of the conditions in prison, and then what lies ahead for the environmental movement and, you know, different social and political justice issues, and how we can all, again, how we all can come together and unite on common ground. No matter what the differences we may have, we have much more in common. And, you know, the age-old principle of divide and conquer is still one of the MOs by the FBI and the agents of repression. So the more that we can set aside our differences, learn how to compassionately communicate so that way we can unite and be stronger, then again, we will be and we are the change that we want to see in the world.
When you were in prison, you had an opportunity to influence a lot of people, I imagine.
Sure.
Can you talk a little bit about that? We have a couple more minutes left, but you have probably changed lives and gave people options and directions they might never have imagined. Talk about that.
When I was in prison, I had people coming to me and giving me things to be recycled because they didn't know what to do with them, and they knew that I did. And I helped educate people on what they could. And I actually had the rare opportunity of being able to send things out, which was a total anomaly. It was while I was in Canada. And I don't want to create the impression that Canada is a lot easier than the States as far as incarceration goes, because it wasn't. Yet I was able to be there long enough to work the system well enough that I could send things out to get composted and recycled. It was absolutely miraculous. And so I had other prisoners that I was on units with that would bring me stuff knowing that it would get out of a landfill and into a more proper receptacle. And then I also, not to glorify prison staff, because there's definitely many problems and many elements of dysfunction within the prison industrial complex. Yet the day that I was extradited on February 29th, 2008, back to the States from Victoria, my sister was a family spokesperson for me and for the family, and she had her number that was widely publicized. And one of the prison staff, it was a woman who was hired and trained while I was there, and she was fairly kind. You know, she was not the typical oppressive, abusive, power-hungry, prison staff. And she called my sister crying. For fear and just for a support for me and my life and my case. And so I definitely was able to, you know, shine a bit of light on people and on the awareness about the state of our world and what we need to do and what we can do about it.
When we really live our conscience and our beliefs, then in a way we shine a light on everyone around us. So you'll keep going. You'll be involved in actions probably.
Absolutely. Just like Dave, who was on yesterday, I'm very passionate about music, and I will do as much as I can to continue to share my truth and my passion through arts and through music, and do as much as I can in the activist realm for political prisoners, for post-prisoner support, for the environment, for our non-human animal friends, and for a lot of human justice issues.
We'd love to have you back to talk about the role of art and music and humor.
I'd love to.
And
I'd love to.
As we get rolling into the summer of 2010.
Absolutely.
And see what that brings us in the way of activism opportunities. Thank you so much for that. My guest has been Trey Arrow, who needs no introduction. Thanks again for coming in live.
Thanks for having me, Chris.
This is Danair Cascadia for Thursday, March 4th, 2010. Engineering is Emily Young. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. Chris Andre is the producer. I'm Liam Delta.
You've been hearing news and comments from Air Cascadia on KBOO, your community radio at 90.7 FM in Portland, kboo.fm on the web. Your support and your support only keeps us subverting the dominant paradigm. Thank you so much, members.
Now stay tuned for Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein, a National Day of Action for Public Schools, and Greg Palast on vulture funds in Africa.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for your support, and have a good day.